Well, we have a very interesting passage before us here today, and you'll see there on the back of your bulletin that I've entitled this today, The Tongue That Brings Healing. The Tongue That Brings Healing. Subtitle, What You Say and What You Don't Say is Strategic in God's Kingdom. As we've said today, we want to think about our tongues. And children, you need to understand that the Bible is using a metaphor here. It's not really, we're not talking about the tongues in our mouths, but rather we're talking about what the tongue brings forth. I wanted to do some research and I didn't get this done, but those of you who are into speech development, you know that there are three different groups of sounds that the tongue makes. There's the gutturals, there's the labials, and if somebody knows it, just shout it out. There's one other one. Okay, thank you. So there's these various kinds of sounds that our tongues make. And when you really begin to think about it, it's a pretty amazing thing that we can use sounds and know what's in the heart of someone else. You've probably had the experience of going into a place where people speak a different language. And you realize my sounds and your sounds don't match up. And you listen and you hear lots of sounds, but those sounds are unintelligible. And friends, how important it is that our concept of language, that our concept of understanding is formed by the Word of God. Not only our eyeballs as we read the Bible, but our earballs as we hear the Word of God proclaimed. Think about what's going on here in this congregation right now in real time. I have the sobering assignment of using my tongue to proclaim something, and you have the sobering responsibility to hear those sounds as they go forth into the air and to lay those up in your heart. It's very intentional influence that God has ordained, as everywhere that His gospel goes, He gathers His people together and He says, now I want you to have the right preaching and the conscionable hearing of the Word of God. And it is in this public proclamation that I will bring about my kingdom purposes on planet Earth. Friends, this is no small task. One of my favorite parts of the Lord's Day is to sit in my office with the elders and to hear them as they pray for many things. They pray for you. They pray for things going on in our community, but they also pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be magnified in the preaching of the Word of God. And there's a little flame that starts to grow in my heart. And it's one of my favorite times. I had a really busy week, and if I lose my voice partway, just know that I'm nursing a bit of a cold here. But even this morning, as I was thinking about the preaching on the tongue, so I was thinking about what is God doing in passages like this as He calls attention to the way that people talk. It's tremendously critical for us to consider that our tongues can damage. Do you remember that blasphemous saying you learned as a kid? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now, there's a legitimate point to that. Okay, and children, you need to understand that what people say cannot physically hurt you. But you also need to understand that the tongue of the righteous is the tree of life. And those who turn from it will be destroyed. You think words can't hurt you? You think taking the holy name of God and using it as a filth word, as a cuss word to express disgust is not damaging? Damaging to the one who utters it, damaging to everyone that hears it, and damaging to a culture that learns to use words the opposite of the way they're meant to be used. Is that not part of our problem today? We can't even communicate in our culture. Every word has been loaded with non-stated politicization. And so we can't even have like a normal conversation with one another. Friends, we need to be careful. We need to be thoughtful. We need to hear the call of King Solomon that our tongues would bring healing. We live in a day when there are a lot of other words that are being spoken very loudly in our culture. And my burden is that we not be distracted by fear or by frustration or by the sense of what we really are, a minority in the culture. And that we keep the main thing, the main thing. We are called by our Savior to bring healing with our tongues. Look down through church history, the people who have used their tongues responsibly have had an impact that is amazing. And the words, the people who use their words, it says in this passage, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Do you use your tongue that way? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver, says Solomon elsewhere. Today, our tongues and the hearts that animate them are front and center. God's kingdom advances through the lives and language of his people. So let the gracious speaker interrogate your tongue today and guide you into words that are righteous, wise, and fitting to the occasion. And I just wanted to read this passage from Luke 4. It's a very interesting one, where Luke comments to us in the course of his witness. And all spoke well of him, speaking of Christ, and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Think about who Jesus was in his culture. He was from rural Galilee. He was the son of a construction worker. He had not attained to the great educational status of many in his culture. And yet when Jesus opened his mouth, the room went silent because what was coming out was gold. Think about it. Be conformed to the image of Christ as he spoke with such grace with such truth. Well, we want to consider this passage today under 4 points. Again, there's many things going on in this passage, and we don't have time to go into it all. But I'd like us to consider today 4 types of words that are presented in this passage. And the first point this morning is that we're called to speak prudent words. Look with me at verses 6-8. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright delivers them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. A man is commended according to his good sense, but one of twisted mind is despised. Friends, we are called by God to speak prudent words. That is, we're called to speak words that are wise. And as I've reflected on what are wise words, I really am persuaded that we are called to speak words that match reality. That at the heart and core of what wisdom is seeing God's perspective, seeing the true eternal perspective on both the circumstances and on the communication of this world. And that our words need to match reality. And the part of what happens when we get on our high horse, when we get angry, when we get frustrated, when we get afraid, is that our words begin to stop matching reality. And it's as though there's a split, or there's a break. And so these people over here are talking about these things, And these people over here are talking about these things. Consider what happens when there's a really big fight, when there's a really big conflict. Some of you, I'm the pastor of this church, some of you have been in really big conflicts. And one of the absolutely paralyzing elements of conflict is that the words are no longer connecting. And so it's as though you're talking past each other. It's as though you're saying words, but those words in the context are not connecting with the heart of the other person. It's a very scary place to be. And please let me encourage you that if you find yourself in that kind of situation, do not just keep talking. Because what happens is words stop being prudent and start become damaging. I call it the kitchen sink syndrome, where we started out talking about this, and now we're talking about everything. And we can't even talk to each other without blowing up in frustration. This happens in marriages. This happens between church members. This happens in the marketplace. It's very real, and it comes out of nowhere. And my advice to you would be, if you find yourself in that situation, stop talking and ask for help. If it's not something that you can, by your own words, work through, resolve, often that involves acknowledgement of sin and repentance. Sometimes that pulls in the whole legal world and all the complications of that. But stop talking and get help. And one of the best ways I know to get help is to seek out the elders of the body of Christ. They have, I just think about our own session, the breadth of experience of our elders is amazing. The experience in the midst of conflict of our elders is amazing. Don't underestimate that God, because God loves you, He's given you a valuable asset to employ in the midst of conflict. There's a brochure out on our tract rack that I know many of you have seen, but I keep one of these in my backpack at all times. Because it's when you least expect it that such things come out and you have to sort through. Now, how do I think as a Christian about conflict? And it's a tremendous resource, Peacemaking Principles, Responding to Conflict Biblically from the Peacemaker Ministries. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous weighs its answer, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil." Do you see the contrast between the two ways? On one hand, there's someone who's being very thoughtful and careful and deliberate in what they're saying. They're speaking the truth in love. They're speaking words that invite, words that heal, words that build up and encourage. They're loving their neighbor. And over on the other side, the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. They say whatever comes to mind. They blow their stack. They lose their temper. And what comes forth is nothing but what Proverbs calls evil. So speak prudent words. Secondly, today, speak righteous words. Look with me at verse 13. "An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous escapes from trouble." Verse 14, "From the fruit of his mouth a man is satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hand comes back to him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult." And then this verse, "Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit." Speak righteous words. Now the question that we have to think about today, are words in themselves righteous or wicked? This really has to do with your philosophy of language. There are some people that say words are actually just an exertion of dominance. That whatever words you say, they're just an exertion of dominance. There is no truth. There are only truth claims. That any time that you use words, you are just trying to get your own way and assert yourself over others. And so those who are really strong and really smart aren't swayed by what other people say. Friends, that is a wicked worldview. The fact of the matter is that the power of life is in words. Jesus himself is the Word made flesh. He spoke to us the Word. In fact, the entire creation was made by the powerful Word of our God. Words are life. If we don't know the name of Jesus, there is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. If we don't know words like sin and salvation and the cross and the resurrection and ascension of Christ, we are outside of the way of salvation. We must know the words. The words are not dominance. The words should be service. And then one of the ways we can best help each other is to sort out what's going on in our hearts using human language. Some of us think too much and speak too little. There are a couple of friends that I think of that I would love to be able to draw and understand more what's going on in their hearts. I also think the far more common problem, and I've already seen a few smiles, how many of us talk too much and think too little? And instead of weighing our words carefully and then speaking words that edify, we just open our trap and say whatever comes out. And oftentimes we find ourselves, boy, I wish I could take back those words that I said. So speak prudent words, speak righteous words. I wanted to give you one example here. Just jot down in your notes Matthew 16, verses 22 and 23. Consider Jesus and Peter, where Peter says something to Jesus, and Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan," because of something Peter said. Anthony Salvaggio, in his book, The Proverbs-Driven Life, writes this. When Jesus told his apostles they would be scattered as a result of his death, Peter let loose another gusher. "Even if we fall away, even if all fall away, I will not." Mark 14:29. In each of these cases, Peter was reacting emotionally rather than responding righteously. Oh, friends, how we need the wisdom of God to respond righteously in the midst of difficult situations that we find in a crooked and perverse generation. This leads us then to the third point this morning, and really I think the heart of this sermon today is speak healing words. Look at verses 18 through 22. This is a vivid image. If this were put forth in visual form, it would be rated R. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. And they just keep talking and talking and talking and talking. They're destroying people. They're confusing people. They may be damning people by the words that they speak that don't lead to what is good and right and true, but off into the confusion and the ways of the world. I read this verse and my soul shudders as I think of some times when I've seen this happen, not with a sword, but with words. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but, thank the Lord for the second half of verse 18, the tongue of the wise brings healing. Speak healing words. Friends, sin has harmed the world. Sin has damaged the world. Sin has confused the world. And the world needs to be healed by Jesus Christ and His life-giving gospel and the power of His Spirit. Oh, friends, how I pray that we would be a source of healing to the world. That we would not try to play God. I'm aware of the things that are going on in the news these days. And there are very real, very, very unnerving political issues, political crises that are facing our world today. But if you try to play God and you try to use your tongue like a billy club, you are no better than the other side. There are sides, and the sides are real, and I don't want to minimize these things. And there's a time and a place to speak politically. But friends, issue after issue after issue is being politicized in our world. And when words stop working, what's the solution? Words become replaced by weapons. It's when someone feels that they cannot or will not be listened to that they become violent. We can never be that. We are the people of God. We have been called by our Savior to bring words of healing, words of clarity, but words of healing. This last week, I was privileged to be involved with a publication board and to speak with one personally online. That has been used by God in some very powerful ways in our culture in these days. Some of you may know Rosaria Butterfield, and she's written a book called The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. Rosaria has a very interesting worldview testimony where she tells of the transformation of her heart at age 36 by the power of God and by the healing words of the church. Some of us are reading and studying and meditating on that book right now. While I was away, I was privileged to see a second book that will be coming forth very soon, is available for pre-order right now, called Openness Unhindered. It's a quote from the last two words of the book of Acts in the King James Version, where Paul spoke with openness unhindered. One of the things I was struck by as I interacted with Rosaria Butterfield was to see that she has words that are as much for the church as she does for those that would be fairly untasteful to many of us, those on the other side of a political spectrum. Rosaria is concerned that the church stand in between useless words, words that are not communicating to the other side. And to use the prophetic voice of the church to call us all to be a people of love. To be a people who display the fruits of the Spirit. And to let wickedness be exposed for what it truly is. How we speak matters so very, very much. Speak healing words. Speak healing words in your own soul. Do you preach the gospel to yourself every day? Do you remind yourself that in yourself you are a dirty, filthy, rotten, stinking sinner deserving of the wrath of God? It is the kindness and mercy of God that leads us to repentance. Do you speak healing words to your own fallen self? This is one of the best ways that I know to mortify the old man and to vivify the new man. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives. It's Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Do a study sometime on the words old man and new man in the Bible. It's a fascinating study where we learn about how we live in between. There is still the old that clings to us. And there is the new that is more and more filling us. It's within that context, how to help people change, how to help people turn away from wickedness and embrace the righteousness that is by faith in Jesus Christ. It's in that context that we need to use words that heal, that bring hope, that bring life, that bring peace, that bring joy, that bring purpose, that bring eternal, everlasting life. Friends, don't underestimate the power of this little flappy thing in the bottom of your mouth. Dedicate your tongue to Jesus Christ and to his gospel purpose in the world. And use your tongue to bring healing. This leads us then finally to the fourth point this morning. Speak humble words. Look at verse 23 with me. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. The hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And then look at verse 28. In the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. Notice in verse 23, we talked about prudent words. We see here a prudent man. But notice how a prudent man thinks, how a prudent man acts. A prudent man is not interested in flaunting everything he knows or everything he thinks. A prudent man conceals knowledge. It's a knowledge by which he lives his life, by which he trains his children, by which he worships God, by which he does his work in the world. But a prudent man must be asked. A prudent man's life is his most powerful witness. You know that old phrase, children, your walk talks and your talk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Now we need to be careful that that is never an excuse to therefore be silent about what is true. But we do need to see that truth comes forth from the inner man, that your tongue is connected to your soul. And what the gospel does, friends, is it humbles souls. It humbles creatures to see that they are just creatures. And the Creator is God. That the Creator has sovereign rights. The rights of King Jesus are real. And they are powerful and they are persuasive. And as we are humbled in our souls, our tongues will become a little less flappy. As we see who we are as creatures, mere creatures who are made in the image of Christ, we will hold what we hold more tightly and more dearly, but we will also be more prudent and more humble in the things that we say. Look at verse 25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Friends, we live in an anxious world today. Some of you may be anxious today. And I want to invite you to honestly face that. To honestly admit, I'm afraid. I'm anxious. I'm frustrated. That until you're able to put into words what's truly going on in your heart, there is no hope to honestly deal with those things. But also, search out good words. Now, good words, I'm tying this to the previous verse that we read. Good words, I think, are by definition humble words. Good words are honest and sincere words that flow forth from a heart that have been changed by the power of God. At one point, Jesus talks about the water that is within you, the well that is within you will become a river of living water. That rather than what you know simply sitting down deep in your soul, the way water sits deep in a well. It's as though that well begins to flow and becomes a river, and it comes welling up. It overflows the top of the wellhead, and it becomes a river. And over, the Bible uses this imagery of a flowing river to speak of the power of the Word of God as it goes forth, bringing life in all directions. In the book of Ezekiel, also at the end of the book of Revelation, we see the river of the water of life flowing down from the throne of God. But the way that river flows is by good words. Good words that bring joy and hope in this world. And I'd like to conclude today looking at verse 28. In the path of righteousness is life. Friends, think about Proverbs with the backdrop of Genesis. Here were Adam and Eve in perfect intimacy in the Garden of Eden. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were cast out of the garden. And it says that the angel guards the way to the tree of life. There's a flashing sword going back and forth. That's the sword that Jesus now holds in his hand. And he comes not in judgment. He comes in humble confidence. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That was the kind of sermon that Jesus preached to those who were honest about their hearts, who thought carefully, who listened sincerely. And many of them were changed by the power of God as it came and took up residence in their heart, and they had new life because they had been with Jesus. May you and I have healing tongues as we walk in this present world. Let us pray. Oh Lord, how we thank you for tongues that bring healing. How we thank you for the tongue of Christ that has truly changed this world because of who he was and because of the message that he preached. We pray, O Lord, that you would give us tongues that flap the way Jesus did. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to have these features in our lives. We would pray, O Lord, that you would help us to speak prudent words. We pray that you would enable us to speak righteous words. We pray that you would give us souls, Lord, that are doing business with you and standing in the assurance of our salvation, such that when we speak healing words. Lord, our hope is not in this world, but our hope is in the world that is to come. We thank you, O Lord, that you oppose the proud, but give grace to the humble. We pray, O Lord, you would help us to speak humble words for the glory of your name, for the advancement of your kingdom, and for the exaltation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.